welcome you to Doxodeo Hatfield, a multi-ethnic family on mission, passionate about Jesus, passionate about community, and passionate about serving the city of Tshwane.
Of our country. So really excited about that, guys. Let's open up our Bibles and our hearts to what God wants to say to us this morning. Can we just give a big hand to Koketso as he comes to preach this morning?
Thank you, Joe. Good morning, everyone. Is everyone okay? Are you sure? You don't sound too great, yeah? Are you okay? All right, yes. David is here. This man changed my life. I was not aware that I'd meet him here today. As a young boy, really just getting into ministry, a lot of hurt. I was just abandoned by both my mom and my dad when I was an infant. And there was just a lot of hurt in my heart at the time. And getting into ministry, making all kinds of bad decisions because of that hurt and everything. And he came to our campus at Doxodeo, inner city on a Wednesday evening to come and meet with me. I don't know where he was coming from, but he drove all the way into the city. And I'm in the city, it can be a bit shady, especially if you are a white African man at night. You stand out like a sore thumb. But he came, man. He came and we spent about an hour or two together there. And I can say that moment is one of those moments in my life I'll never forget, because it set me up for the path where I'm standing today. Is that investment that you had in my life. And I just want to celebrate and just appreciate you. Thank you so much, sir. I really, really appreciate that, man. Amen, amen. Like Joe said, so I was in Doxodeo from 2008 until about 4 years ago. I think they were tired of me. I was tired of them. I was tired of anyone. Yeah, until about 4 years ago, and we were just at the inner city. And then I don't know how many of you know the Parkview campus. So we planted the Parkview campus with Yuri Grill and Tops there. And then God led us to planting Musa Church just down the road. If you don't like Joe anymore, you just walk down this road, and when you get to Pretorius Road, that's where we are at. All right, don't come. We'll chase you away. Yeah. So thank you for inviting me again. When you get invited for the first time, they're taking a chance. When they invite you again, it's either they're tired of their church or you did well. So thank you for inviting you and your wife. Thank you for inviting us and what you're doing here in our city, man. I always say to Joe, there is no one church that can save the whole city. There's no one church that can serve the whole city. We need everyone hands on deck as the Church of Jesus Christ serving the city together if we are going to make a difference. Amen. Amen. If you go to Musa Church right now, it's louder than this. Yeah, I just want to say it's very loud. So, and I was sitting here, I was like, even when they are praying, I mean, Manalise was praying this morning and he starts by, it's like, wow, Jesus. I was like, oh, okay. That's how we start prayer. There, when we start, we say, Father God. Then you know it's on. Yeah, Manalise is like, wow, Jesus. So it's like, okay. I mean, I guess Jesus also listens to that. We wake him up. We're like, Jesus, come on. See, we even drop the stuff. So, guys, this is as good as it gets. From here, it just goes south. I just had to start with a bit of jokes and then we take it. I think I'm more of a comedian than a pastor. The title of my sermon this morning is The Fullness of God's Plan. Isn't it amazing that we're sitting here only because God made it possible? And that's what we just want to talk about this morning. Looking through the book of Galatians, I know you've been on the journey, and the theologian is coming next week, right? I'm not. Yeah, so I'm the screamer, he's the theologian. So, you know, you get the best of both worlds. Salvation was solely God's plan. Amen? It was through his power for his people. Salvation was solely God's plan. It was through his power for his people that we are saved. After the fall of man in Genesis, God creates the world. He loves man. He creates him in his own image and his likeness. And the man falls. And after man falls, in Genesis 3:15, the Bible says he activates this plan. As soon as early as Genesis 3, already the redemption plan is in motion. So our redemption was not an afterthought. Our salvation was not something that God thought about after the fact. From the beginning, he knew that he wants to save you. And that should shoot some encouragement through you to say, my God, before the foundations of the earth, he knew that he will call me towards himself. As early as Genesis 3, we see the activation of this plan. The Bible says, Genesis 3:15, it says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. I always say to people in my congregation, on the cross, the devil did not crush Jesus. He just striked his heel, but the devil was crushed and we were saved as a result of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And we are standing here knowing that our enemy has been crushed. He's like, for my people, I'm not going to bruise you as you will bruise me. I am going to crush your head. And I want to encourage you this morning, if there's any thought of condemnation that is condemning you, saying you are not enough, know that the accuser's head has been crushed. We are part of God's plan, and no one can snatch us away from his hand. It was a plan that was there from the beginning. This plan was there. It was activated in Genesis, but it was there before Genesis. It is not a plan that started in Genesis. It is a plan that was activated in Genesis. When you go to 1 Peter 1, 18 to 21, in the Passion Translation, the Bible says, for you know that you lived, for you know that your lives were ransomed once and for all from the empty, futile way of life handed down to you from generation to generation. It was not a ransom payment of silver and gold, which eventually perishes, but it was the precious blood of Jesus, who, like a spotless, unblemished lamb, was sacrificed for us. This is my favorite part of the scripture. This was part of God's plan, for he was chosen and destined for this before the foundations of the earth was laid. But he has been made manifest in these last days for you. What I love about this manna is that God didn't wait for me to fall to catch me. He didn't sit down in heaven and say, okay, let's see what's going to happen. And then when you're about to fall, he's like, oh! In his son, the plan was always there to catch us. Before my mom left, the plan was there for him to catch me. Before I was abandoned, the plan was there for him to catch me. Before I made the mistakes, the plan was there for him to catch me. Before I went wayward, the plan was there for him to catch me. Before I messed myself up, the plan was there for him to catch me. I'm like, what did you see in me when I was such a mess that you made a plan to catch me even before I made the mess? And that says to me, there is nothing that I can do that can snatch me away from God, because he made a plan for me before the foundations of the earth. What an amazing God. Jerry Bridges says, our worst days are never so bad that you are beyond the reach of God's grace. And on your best days, you are never so good that you are beyond the need of God's grace. And we have three types of believers, at least in my eyes. We have the Pharisee believer, we have the guilt-laden believer, and then we have the grace-bound believer. The Pharisee type of believer believes unconsciously that he has earned a spot in God's redemptive plan through their good behavior. They believe that because I have done 1, 2, 3, that is why I am part of God's plan. And then we have the guilt-laden believer who believes and they are convinced that they have forfeited their spot in God's plan because they lack the discipline and the obedience to walk with God. They live with a sense of guilt. And then we have the grace-bound type of a believer who knows that no bad action disqualifies them from the grace of God. To the same extent, no good acts qualifies them for the grace of God. It is God's free gift of love through his son, Jesus Christ. In response, they want to live a life that pleases him because they know that the Holy Spirit is there in them to enable them to do that. This kind of a believer, the grace-bound believer, it's a type of a believer whose life's theme, the theme of their life is this old hymn that says, nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to cling to the cross. They know that, listen, man, there's not a day where I can be so good that I don't need the grace of God. There is not a day where I can be so bad that I don't qualify for the grace of God. I cannot be so great that I don't need the grace of God. I cannot be so bad that I don't qualify for the grace of God. Unfortunately, as believers today, we vacillate between these two points. When on our best days, we think, yes, today I've earned the goodness of God. And on our worst days, we believe that we have lost it. And that is a lie. That's why in Galatians 3 verses 1, Paul says to the Galatians, you foolish Galatians. That is a bit of a strong statement. But if you read actually the whole book of Galatians, it's a strong book. It's not a, oh, Jesus loves you. It's strong, this one. Paul is not playing games here. Because when it comes to the gospel of Barcelona, we cannot play games. Can I call you Barcelona? I'm forgetting where I'm at. There you can see all the black people say, aye. Yes. So I'm making appropriate race jokes, right? We can't allow the enemy to play with our salvation. That's why Paul was speaking so strongly. We cannot allow anyone to erase what God has done that was so precious on the cross. We cannot allow anyone to downplay it. We cannot allow anyone to challenge it, to reject it, because it is the salvation that comes by the blood of Jesus alone. We need to be precious about it. We need to be jealous about it. We need to be jealous about the salvation of people. We need to say, God has won for these people, and we're not going to allow anyone to tell us different. And that was why Paul was angry. He says, no, man, you can't do this. Paul says to them, you foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus was clearly portrayed as crucified. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, before your very eyes, a perfect sacrifice for your sin was offered through Christ alone. He's saying to them, before your very eyes, a victory over death was announced by Christ alone. He says, before your very eyes, new life upon you was declared by Christ alone. He says, atonement of your sins was pronounced by the blood of Jesus alone. An elimination of the power, the guilt, and the shame of sin was declared upon your life by Christ alone. You are no longer slaves, but you are now sons. That was the declaration that Christ made. He says, how do you allow anyone to tell you different today? How do you allow someone to tell you that your past does not qualify you for what the blood of Jesus has done? He says, you are free. There is no longer power, guilt, or shame of sin upon your life. It is done. How do you allow anyone else to tell you different? Because sometimes we come into church and then they say, you are not dressed appropriately for to be part of our church community. You're like, my Savior did not look at my clothes. He accepted me just as I was. I went to another church. I was invited to be part of pastors who were visiting. And as I saw this guy who was the speaker, is a friend of the guy who invited me. Such a now complicated introduction to the story. I'm just realizing, okay, yeah. So let's just say there was a pastor who was preaching. And then he was greeting everyone, greeting all the pastors. And when he comes to me, he saw my tattoo of my daughter. And then he pulled his hand back. And he's like, you have a tattoo? I'm like, I do. Says, sorry, I cannot greet you. I'm like, I'm so glad that my Savior embraced me. It's okay, you can't greet me, it's fine. But he didn't just greet me, he embraced me with my tattoo. Because it's not what it, there was, even if I did not have the tattoo, I could not earn that spot. It was only by the blood of Jesus, by his sacrifice on the cross, that I made it. So regardless, don't allow anyone to make you feel like you do not qualify for salvation, because on our own, it is true, we don't qualify, but because of what he has done on the cross, we qualify, we will qualify, and we will always qualify. If you don't want us to come to your house, we are going to heaven, and that is enough for us. You don't want us to come to your churches, it's fine. We are going to heaven, and that is enough for us. You don't want to be our friend, he is our friend, and that is enough for us. You don't want us to come close to you, he has drawn us close to himself, and that is enough for us. What he has done for us on the cross is enough for us. You need to stop giving people too much credit. They're like, no, people have preferences. God's only preference was Jesus Christ that qualifies us to step into the boat. But because in this world, you're not going to be white enough. You're not going to be black enough. You're not going to be tall enough. You're not going to be short enough. You're not going to have the right accent. There's going to be so many disqualifiers. And now, sometimes we want to bring the same disqualifiers before God. There is no disqualifier. The only disqualification is not putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Anything else, it does not. That's why Paul then says, Galatians 5 verses 1. He says, steadfast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has set us free, and do not be entangled again by the yoke of bondage. We need to understand that the only qualification for salvation to be included in God's redemption plan is Jesus Christ. That is it. That we cannot act ourselves into it. Can I tell you, there are people who are better husbands than me. They are better wives. They are better parents than me. They are better friends than me. They are in just general, they are better people than me. But they won't spend eternity with Jesus. There are people who, from a moral standpoint, man, they are saints. but they won't. You know, I lost my grandmother 4 months ago. She was there. She was my mom. She was not even my grandmother. She raised me. Like I said, my parents left. And she's the best thing that has ever happened to my life. Well, after, yeah, let's not get into it. Yeah, the comparison will get me into trouble. And I said to her, I said, I love you. But here's the thing. See what an amazing woman you are? If you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, all this good work that you have done cannot get you into eternity with Him. I'm like, what you have done is amazing. It's not going to count. God is not going to go like, Ahmad, but yes, she was a nice lady. It's not going to count. To the same extent, let me tell you what was when I preached this sermon at my church. So now we're all black, like we're all black in the church, right? And I say to them, I say, there are people who authored apartheid, but they accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. You are going to find them in heaven, because heaven is not your mother's house. Heaven is not South Africa. If they have accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, guys, and if that offends us, then we don't understand the grace of God. We are going to find people who have hurt us so much there. Why? Because it's not in morality, it is in the accepting of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there are some people who are the best people we know. We are not going to find them there because they did not accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And you know, in my church, people are looking at me like, what are you saying? I could see that it was a challenge for them. I'm like, it is the grace of God. It's not sold at your tuck shop. It is the grace of God. It is God's plan. The sooner we accept that it is God's plan, the sooner we live happy lives. We're able even to release people and stop holding grudges because we know that His plan is superior. His plan is superior. And for some of us, these are tough things to think about. And I needed to make that statement just to show them the magnitude of the grace of God. And I needed to make that statement to you also, because you will understand the magnitude of that. To say, before the grace of God, He's accepting all of us coming in because He has paid the full price. That was His plan. And then, if I understand that, man, the same price that was paid for me was paid for Joel, then why do I allow anything else to come between us when such a high price was paid? Because if I keep this thing, if I keep this grudge, I might not want to get into heaven. Because I'm going to get there and I see Joel. And I go like, I'm not going inside there. Yeah, like, I'm not going inside there. They're like, okay, if you don't want to come in, it's fine. Because the only qualification here is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus on the cross. That is the only qualification here. If you don't want to come in, the only alternative, you don't want to go there. And that is why Paul was so. So Paul writes the book of Galatians, right? The book of Galatians is written by Paul. And Galatia is what is known as modern day Turkey, a part of it. And what was this church? So Paul planted this church in Acts. If you want to just kind of like get the background, Acts 13, 14, 15, that's where this church is planted, right? And this is what happens, Acts 13. This is what Paul says to them. He says to these Gentile people, Paul says to them, Acts 13, verses 47 to 48. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the world. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who appointed and all were appointed for eternal life. No, let me say that again. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. So what is happening here, Bazalan, is that in the Old Testament, we know about a nation that was chosen by God. And because they were descendants of Abraham, they were a nation, they were a chosen nation, they were a Jewish nation. They knew that this is, we are the children of the promise. We are keeping the laws of Moses, and that is what is qualifying us to be the holy people, right? And until that point, Gentiles knew that they can never be called the people of God. Gentiles was everyone who was a non-Jew. So they knew that now we don't qualify, we are out. Right? We don't qualify to be called the people of God, the children of God. We are Gentiles. Then Christ comes into the picture. And when Christ comes into the picture, he says, hey, guess what? Everyone now can come in. Yeah, it's like Oprah, it's like everyone now can come in. That's what Jesus does. Jesus says, only if you put your faith in me, doesn't matter whether you are Jew or Gentile, male or female, tall or white, black, whatever, you can come in. Hey, you're here. That guy used to be in church together for a long time. Whoa, man, I didn't see him. He was there. Imagine, yeah. Imagine they say you know, imagine you go to a party and then you get there, they're like, no short people are welcome. And you can imagine Manalisi standing there says, no short people are welcome. Because he's looking at his own qualifications and say, I qualify. So you stand outside. And now you're standing outside there. And then someone comes in and say, because of me, even the short people, the tall people, everyone can come in. Imagine the excitement. I also get to come in. What do I need to do? You just need to believe in me, then you come in. When you get to the door, say, I said you can come in. Imagine the thief at the cross. The thief at the cross is standing there with Jesus, and he says, Jesus, remember me when you get to paradise. And what happens? He doesn't go to Bible school. He doesn't know the difference between sanctification, glorification, and salvation. He knows nothing. He has never been to church. He has never been to Bible study. He has never been to cell. All these things that we think are so important, and you know, he has never been there. Then he gets to heaven, and then there's Moses standing there at the door. He says, sorry, sir, wait. Day, why are you here? Because the last I checked, you are a thief. And this guy says, the guy in the middle said I can come. That's our testimony. The guy in the middle said, I can come. They're like, but you have done 1, 2, 3. Said, but the guy in the middle said, I can come. And they say, but you do not be said, but the guy in the middle said, I can come. And they know in heaven, if the guy in the middle said you can come, then you are coming. Yeah. They're like, but you have not been to church. He says, but the guy in the middle said, I can come. Because you see, it is not our church going is important. I'm a pastor. I need people to come to church. Right? But it's not a qualifier. Discipleship. I love discipleship. I love all the church stuff that we do. They are great. But we should never make them a barrier to entry. Because there's only one qualifier. It is faith in Christ and Christ alone. That is the redemption plan. Now they hear, imagine the Gentiles. They hear this good news. Now you can come. Imagine the Gentiles are dancing there. Ah, We are also going. We are also going. We are also going. We are also included in the promise. Because the Bible says in Galatians, that now you are also children according to the promise. They're like, we also qualify for the promise. And then the Bible in Acts 15 verses 1, certain men came down from Judea to Antioch and they started teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised according to the customs taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. You know how does this sound? When you download a software, it's written free software. And then you download it. And then just as you're about to process, then they say only 50 rands. I was done downloading this thing. Oh, you have downloaded it, then there's a watermark. If you want to remove the watermark. You're like, but you said it was free. They're like, yeah, free until. So that was what was happening to the Galatians. Paul said to them, listen, the pride has been paid in full. And while they are still celebrating, the Judaizers come and say, no, wait. Before you go too far, you need to also be circumcised for you to come in. And that's why Paul was so angry. He said, listen, when Christ has saved you, you need to do nothing else. He is the Savior. He has started this thing and he will finish this thing. You cannot sustain what you did not start with your morals. If your morals could save you, they could have saved you, but because they couldn't, they are not going to sustain you. It is only by the blood of Jesus. Paul is angry. Guys, if you read the book of Galatians, Paul is very angry because he's like, people, Christ has invited people, now you are creating a barrier. Now you are creating a barrier. Now imagine if that pastor, God bless him, I listen to him. Now he says he can't shake my hand because I have a tattoo. Now what must I do? It's like, now, okay, you see, we need to be careful not to make people who don't look like us feel like they're not saved. Because that's sometimes what we do, right? If they don't worship like us, then their salvation is not right. If they don't pray like us. If, you know, and I come from that kind of school of thought where, you know, you'd come to churches like this and you're like, so the black people, they know what I'm talking about. I know. It doesn't have that thing. There's no oil. At that moment, you are elevating your preferences as if they are a qualifier for people. And we say, now the Holy Spirit was not moving because you were not emotional and crying. Like, do you understand that when you got saved, we received the Holy Spirit, and the expression of the Holy Spirit is not always time, or always when you are crying and falling on the floor. Because sometimes we take our preferences and make them the standard. The standard is Jesus. The only standard we need to meet is accepting him as our Lord and Savior. Everything after that is difference of inex. We prioritize the method over the mission. He is the standard. That's why Paul then says in Galatians 1:15, you must tell me when I'm taking too much time. Galatians 15, verse 6, Paul says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son to me that I may preach him amongst the Gentiles. I did not immediately go and confer with flesh and blood. You know what Paul said? He says, when God called me to go and preach gospel to the people that don't look like you, I did not come to you because I knew that you were going to create a problem. Paul says, that's why I didn't go to church people when I wanted to go and evangelize in Sunnyside, because they were going to tell me, hey, how can you go to that place? Hey, do you know how those people are? Wow, 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 wow. You know, when people want to do ministry, we come up with conditions. No, but you can't. The church of Jesus Christ, it is going to be filled with people who don't look like you. Because to start with, You were saved, but you did not look like him. That is why the Holy Spirit is there
to continue to do the work in us. The Holy Spirit is there to continue to do the work in us so that what? So that Christ may be formed in us. Let me tell you, if the Holy Spirit had the same attitude some of us have, we would not be saved, Joe. Because sometimes we act as if we look, Christ will look at this. You don't even look like me, but I'm going to save you anyway and raise you up. To. If we are a church of Jesus Christ, a lot of people that don't look like us, that don't speak like us, that don't pray like us, they don't even know prayers. Their prayers don't make sense when you are listening. You shouldn't be listening to other people's prayers. But have you ever been in church and someone is praying and you're like, what? You can hear that this prayer, hi, is not the one. But God heard it. We went to another gathering and someone started praying and then he was like, Father Jesus. And we're like, Father what? We're like, Father what? Is it not sad that some of us, we can use this as a qualifier to say whether the person is saved or not? And that's why Paul was so mad. Because now you're trying to put this nationalistic agenda in between people and their Savior. When Christ has saved them, then you put a barrier to entry. He says, man, there's nothing that you can do on your own except accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, proclaiming Him as your Lord and Savior, believing in your heart and speaking it with your mouth, like Romans says, that qualifies you. There's nothing else. There is nothing else. Anything else beyond that is self-righteousness. Everything else beyond that is self-righteousness. Paul was annoyed. Paul was very annoyed. What Paul in Galatians 3 verses 2, I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you not receive the Spirit? Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? What Paul means by this is that you receive the Spirit by believing in what you heard. He is taking us to Romans 10 verses 17, where he says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, meaning that it is when people hear the gospel and they put their faith in Jesus Christ and surrender their lives to him as the guarantor of their salvation, that they are saved. That is how salvation comes. What is a guarantor? Person or an entity that agrees to be responsible for another's debt. And when we receive Jesus Christ, he is our guarantor. We have no other guarantor. We have no guarantee in our actions. We have no guarantee even in our prayer lives. We have no guarantee even in our fasting. We have no guarantee in keeping to our religious rules. The only guarantee we have that we'll spend eternity with our Savior is Jesus Christ himself. The only guarantee we have that our debt is paid in full. The only guarantee we have that sin has been done away with. The only guarantee we have that we are completely forgiven. The only guarantee we have that we are the righteousness of God. The only guarantee we have is that he who had no sin became sin so that me and you can become the righteousness of God. And we are the righteousness of God. Not because we are righteous on our own, but because the one who was righteous took our place. I thank him, Jesus, for taking my place. Because if he did not take my place, I should not be standing here today. I am only standing here because he took my place. Where I was supposed to die, he died on my place. Where I was supposed to be buried, he was buried. But one thing I know is that on the third day, he conquered the grave. And he did not just rise by himself. He rose with me, the Bible says, for we are co-risen with him. I thank him because he is the guarantor. There is no other. There is no other. That's why the Bible says in Galatians that the just shall live by faith. And when the Bible says the just shall live by faith, or the righteous shall live by faith, The Bible is not talking about having faith for things. That's not what the Bible is talking about. Because sometimes we take these scriptures and we twist them to mean what we want. When the Bible says, and the righteous shall live by faith, it's not saying having faith for your marriage. That is good, but that's not what the Bible is talking about. It's not meaning when you're having faith for your job. It doesn't mean when you're having faith for healing. No, that's not what the Bible is talking about. When the Bible says the just shall live by faith, it says the just, we will live by only putting our faith in Jesus Christ. That is the only way we live. That is the only way we get to live. We live by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. That's why in John 10:10, the Bible says, the enemy has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have life in abundance. We live only by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. That is how we live. There's a statement that we know very well. It says, preach the gospel at all times, but when necessary, use words. What I suspect that the quote is encouraging is that we should live lives that reflect that we are in Christ. We should live lives that glorify our Father in heaven. What I'm suspecting that quote means is quoting from Matthew 5. Verse 16, where it says, you must live in such a way that people will witness your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And while that is good, Joe, that is not the gospel. While that is good, it is not the gospel. People should not look at my life to know what the gospel is. We must tell them the gospel. Because what we are doing in saying, look at me, is that we are putting people back to self-righteousness. We say, look at, and most of the time when we say we are living, when we say, look at my moral living, and that is preaching the gospel to you. And can I tell you, sometimes your moral living is preaching condemnation than it's preaching the gospel. Because someone is looking at you, how you're doing your marriage, and they feel like if that is the gospel, then I will never qualify because my marriage is a mess. But the gospel is saying, you see how my marriage is. It is not because I am smart. It's not because me and my wife are good communicators. It is because of the blood of Jesus that first saved us. And when we got saved, that's when we became better people. We need to preach the gospel, Barcelona, with your mouth. Tell people about Jesus. Tell people about Jesus. Share the gospel. It's great to live a life that is resembling a Christian life, but tell people about Jesus. The Bible in Romans says, how will they know if no one tells them? How will they know if no one tells them that, hey, there is a subscription-free plan here. There are no added hidden costs. There's no T's and C. It is what you get. It is what you see. What he did on the cross was final. There are no hidden costs. There's no T's and C's. There's no hidden clause. He has paid it all. You can come in. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter how you look like. If you say, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, you are in. That's the plan. That is the plan. And that's why Paul was so angry. He said, man, how can, when people have been saved by the blood of the Lamb, now you're putting a yoke on them. Now you're putting a yoke on them. Tell people that Jesus has atoned for their sins. Tell people that. Tell people that he has absorbed the power, the guilt, the shame, and the punishment of sin meant for them. Tell them that. Not only that, tell them that when they repent of their sins and put their faith in him and surrender to him as the only way to salvation, he bestows on them God's righteousness. Tell them that. Tell them that they will receive the Holy Spirit who will empower them to live a life that you are living. Tell them that you are only living that life because of the Holy Spirit that you received when you received Jesus Christ. Tell them that. Let's tell people the gospel. Let us tell people the gospel. That's why Hebrews 12 verses 2 says, he is the author and the finisher. This thing was started by him. Our salvation was his initiative. We are just respondents. We are just respondents. We get an opportunity to respond to an invitation that otherwise we do not qualify for. We get an opportunity to respond to an invitation that otherwise we know that on our own effort we cannot attain it. We know that there's nothing that we can do to attain it, but there's everything that he has done to welcome us in. We know that it was his plan. And I wanna speak to someone here this morning as I close, who says, I just didn't think that I qualify for a spot in his plan. I just didn't think I qualify for a spot at his table. I just didn't think that I would get an invitation. I was waiting to get my act together, to get my life together, so that I can get in. Here's what I want to tell you. After you have put your life together and it is the best, you still don't qualify. After you have become a perfect human being, that perfection still does not qualify you. The only thing that qualifies us is by putting our faith in Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. That means right now, right here, in your mess, you qualify. It means right now, right here, with your porn addiction, with your depression, with your brokenness, with your traumas, with your alcohol abuse, with your right now, right here, the only thing you need is to believe it in your heart and speak it with my mouth, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. You just have to make that one decision. If you can all just close our eyes.